Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. This is a hump day podcast, but belated because I had things going on yesterday. It was St. Patrick's Day. Didn't have a computer, but that's scuttlebutt. Joe and I are here for you on our hump day belated podcast here this day, March 18th, third day of the year 2021. Again, it's the Hump Day Podcast with Chips and Joe on Twitter. He's 4N Joe on Twitter, and I am at JP underscore Ahern on Twitter as well. We are the Unsung Sports Grid, E2G Sports Network, and E2GSports.com is where you can find this and each and every one of our podcasts. So right now, we're coming live at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on March 18th, 2021, and here's what we're going to do. So Joe and I have followed up our we're previewing leagues, previewing divisions of the AL and NL. Today we were going to do the AL East and the NL East, but we're going to abbreviate that. Today we're going to preview later on in the show a little National League East Division preview, Major League Baseball with Joe and myself, obviously. But talk some free agency with our good boy, good buddy and our insider, former Patriot Jarvis Green, two-time Super Bowl champion, an entrepreneur with Chef to You on Instagram and ocean97.com. And he'll join us in 10 minutes to talk a little free agency, what's going on in New Orleans, what's going on with the Patriots, because they've been very, very, very active, and that's a topic we'll get into. But let's welcome in the other half of this extravaganza. He's our inner ear, our enforcer. He's Joe Foran. Joe, how you doing today, bud?
What's going on, John? And just to let the world out there know, Twitterers, know that you can also contact either one of us at Hump Day with Chips and Joe on the Twitter account.
Absolutely.
It's going good. It's like, you know, I'm looking forward to today. It's like, you know, it's not the greatest day out there weather-wise, but hey, you know what? We get to talk with our good friend Jarvis. We get to talk some baseball, so should be good.
Looking forward to it as well. Again, this is Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast, Hump Day edition this Thursday. Chips and Joe here for you on the Unsung Sports Grid, blogtalkradio.com. Before we get into football, because we'll talk with Jarvis about that in just a few minutes, and pardon me. Let's start. We're going to preview the AL East next week. It's 2 weeks now with the Boston Red Sox, who were located up here in New England, so Red Sox region, and my fandom diehard with the Boston Red Sox, and they're about halfway through their spring training. 2 weeks till opening day, Joe. Interesting year. You and I talk about this, you know, outside of the airways, as we do for baseball guys, and talking about, let's start off with the with how they look in spring training and just the difference that manager Alex Cora could make in this team. You look at a manager, and then, you know, sometimes you look at managers or coaches in different sports and you say, okay, how many games can a coach win you? Belichick, New England. Brad Stevens in with the Celtics. But baseball is a little different because the manager manages. And I think Alex Cora is just what the doctor ordered on the bench for this team. 2 years removed, obviously the abbreviated season last year. I like what I see from Alex Cora. I like what I hear from him. I think the team will respond around him. A team that is projected to win 80-some-odd games, maybe low 80s, could they win another 8, 10 games with Alex Cora on the bench in Europe?
You know, we've talked ad nauseum about this, John. I've been one on the side of, I think Alex can make a difference between 10 and 15 games. I know it's homerish of me to think that, but I just think that he could possibly make a difference of 10 to 15 games. And with those 10 to 15 games, you put the Red Sox on the cusp of a wild card berth / division title. I mean, it's tough because they'll overcome the Yankees, who are slated to win mid-90s, so it's like, you know, it could make things interesting if he can make the difference in 10 to 15 games, and it's like then we turn the 500 team into a, you know, 90-92 win team, and I think so. I honestly think so. I may be hopeful at this, but, you know, most people would probably disagree with me, but I just think that we could win more games and surprise more people than what out there is giving us credit for.
He's Joe Foran, John Ahern, Johnny Sunchitsky, E2G Sports Network, Hump Day Podcast, and blog.com. Obviously, E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez will open the season, but it looks like Alex Cora is going to go with a five-man rotation, Evaldi, Richards, Martin Perez, and Pagetta at least to start. I like what I see from there. You can kind of bridge it. Erod's the key, but again, the elixir to me, and I like Richards and Perez, is like after starting off really, really poorly. Pavetta's a solid five if he's there, but if we can get some, again, get Nathan Eovaldi, 20 starts for Nathan Eovaldi, would do well, just health-wise, to stem the tide on what is a very important year, pitching-wise, and especially the starting rotation for this team.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. I mean, it just, Garrett, I think, can be an innings eater. I'm hopeful to get 10 to 12 wins out of him this year. So kind of what you expect from a fourth or fifth starter. And it's just health-wise, can he regain any form that he's shown early in his career? I mean, granted, he's only 500 pitcher right now, but it's like, you know, early in his career, he could have been a good serviceable two or three starter for anybody, but, you know, injury sidelined him. And it's like, just like Eovaldi, injury sidelined him. And it's like, both of these guys, they need to be innings eaters, get the ball, get 6-7, get quality starts out of these guys. And we have chance. That's all you want is quality starts out of a pitcher, and it gives your team a chance. Last year, quality starts are few and far between. And then, you know, the gasoline, I mean, the bullpen came in, and it's like, forget it. It's just like there was no chance in hell with that. So, I kind of like this team. It's going to be different. It's like, you know, what are we going to get for center field defense now that JBJ's gone and, like, not saving you a few runs here and there because, like, the man, his defensive ability was second to none. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if he's only got one gold glove. His defensive abilities were second to none in the American League in center field, and I will stand by that.
Joe Furr and John Ahern here on the 2G Sports Podcast. You and I have talked about Loretta Ross, and we'll work with Joe's going to in a couple minutes. We'll talk some free agency and back in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You talk about a team that a lot of players, a lot of platoon guys, if you will. I think that there's one manager that we've seen recently here in Boston and maybe in the American League, if you will, maybe much more the Major League Baseball in a whole, is a guy to manage those station guys, those, you know, three first-inning guys, those platoon guys in Alex Cora, too. And I think that kind of, well, I'm not sure if it was the philosophy coming in, but I'm looking at a guy named Bob Dalbec. He's good with young guys. Bobby Dalbec did five homers, two grand slams this spring, has all the power in the world. The pace that Alex Cora is going to have with him, maybe platooning him at the start until they can salvage his strikeout issue, but I think he's the perfect manager to work with a guy named like Bobby Dalbec and his raw talent and kind of getting the best out of it and focusing on the future because you lock this guy down, he's the first baseman for years to come.
No, I agree. It's like, you know, I think Alex is good with kids. I think he's great with the kids. And it's like, you know, I think he will get these heads on right. He communicates well with the players. That's all these players ever look for is they want to know their roles, what they're up to when they come to the park. They want to know if they're playing, if they're not playing. It's like where they're playing, where they're batting in the lineup. You know, and I feel Alex is the guy for that. It's like, you know, paid his dues. He came back. Let's see. I'm hopeful. Like I said, I'm hopeful. Not going to be easy because right now they need us to finish fourth in the division. It's like, you're playing Tampa Bay, New York, and it's like, you know, even the Blue Jays have improved dramatically over the offseason, so it's going to be tough. I didn't say it'd be easy, but I think we got the right manager to do the job. I really do.
I agree, and we know that, and we'll break down the AL East next week on our Wednesday Hump Day podcast. It's going to be a day before opening day here in Boston with the Red Sox, so, and we'll make a prediction as well. Look into the crystal ball, see what happens.
What's up? I said, I'll have predictions ready.
Well, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. But we'll break that down later for you, too. But, yeah, so there's lots of things going on. But let's you know, John's going to join us in a minute. But let's start in this football conversation and talk about, and we'll get into the Patriots. We'll get to Jarvis's. But the tampering period started Monday, and Wednesday was the official opening of free agency. And obviously here in New England it was different because we haven't seen this activity in a long time. But on a whole, you get to Wednesday, Joe, which is yesterday, and it's like, ho-hum, we've already started. So it was that quote-unquote legal tampering period, if you will. It makes maybe the biggest oxymoron in all of sports to say legal tampering. It's really boasted. So we're seeing the ramifications of the whole cap adjustment with this team in the league on the whole. Lots of activity all over the place. Still a lot to come here.
Oh, I keep on hearing it's like, oh, Patriot haters out there saying, oh, you spent foolishly, you overpaid, you got these guys because you need them, and you seriously overpaid. Well, I don't know. Let me see. We had $68 million going into Monday of cap space, and as of Wednesday, before that Van Noy signing, we still had close to $40 million left. So how much money did we actually spend? I mean, a lot of this is incentive-laden.
You're right.
A lot of guaranteed money wasn't there like people think it was. And we kind of got players for decent contracts, but, like, yeah, he kind of reached a little bit. And look, I was talking to a few buddies. You know, like a buddy of mine in Miami. He's like, how many times has Miami won the off-season moves trophy and done nothing? So it's like, you know, just because we seem to be doing the right thing in the off-season, never seems to translate in the regular season. But, yeah, Bill's never done this neither, so let's see. Even if they hit on half of these guys, that's 50% more than what the rest of the league is going to hit on. And I'm very happy that they went on both sides of the ball. And, you know, they spent, they overspent, so be it. But it's like, so did a lot of other teams. And now teams still have to figure out what they've got left for cap space and get ready to roll before the draft comes about. So at least now we spent more money than we ever did any other year since Bill's been there on day one and day two. I like the idea because now we got an idea of what we're looking for in the draft, namely a quarterback. Oh, wait, I didn't say that out loud.
Well, it does, and that's the $64,000 question, if you will, referencing an old game show back before a lot of you were born. But who's going to be the quarterback in the room? I mean, if it's Newton, you're not building around Newton with the deal you signed. So you're building a better team, if you will. The two tight end set, which has had success in the past, you know, the offensive line, maybe run oriented team, building the defense back. So it's going to be that balance. And Bill Belichick and Kraft, they're building a team at least now for the future, regardless of who's at the quarterback. But let's bring in our next guest, and he is Jarvis Green joins us. Jarvis is a two-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, former defensive lineman, entrepreneur, chef to you. He'll tell us about that. Ocean97.com. Jarvis, it's been a few weeks, right? Joe Foran, John here. How you doing, Jarvis?
I'm good, guy. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good, my friend.
Doing well, Jarvis. Doing well.
Okay, Jarvis. Talk a little agency with you, but I got to start at your home base, the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees officially retires after 10 years, 15 with New Orleans. What's the emotional feeling down there? I know embedded in the community, number one. And number two, we talked about last year how maybe forcing him back after the injuries may have been a detriment to the postseason success or lack thereof. It may have been in the point with such a big game in the playoffs. Is this a good thing for the organization on two fronts? I mean, obviously he's a great guy, but is it what they needed to move forward, quarterback position?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing for the organization. It's time, you know, for Drew Brees to hang up his helmet and his cleats and to let somebody else take over the throne. I mean, he had his great, you know, Super Bowl run, in 09 to 2010, whatever year that was, that the Saints won the Super Bowl. But at the same time, you know, ups and downs, and he have tremendous, you know, regular season games, and then they get to the playoffs, and they have their, you know, their issues are – I guess we're trying to make the big play, you know. So it's good that he spent 15 years, 20 years in the NFL. I thought he was going to be a guy that's going to kind of go tit for tat with Tom Brady, but it surprised me that he did call his retiring in a few days ago or a week ago, whatever it was.
Jarvis Green joins us here on the E2G Sports Network Hump Day podcast with Chips and Jennifer End. Jarvis, Taysom Hill's the guy in the room now. On the depth chart, he's number one going into the season. 4-year extension, paying him $140 million, but it is cap friendly to the Saints, so they're kind of restructuring that cap hell they were in, so to speak. What's your opinion on him? Do you think it's time for him to shine and can step up and be a starting quarterback for a full season for the Saints?
It's time for time to shine for him, for Taysom Hill. When I saw that, I was like, what the hell is going on down there? You know, but of course, you know, we knew it was just to free the cap up, and it's, you know, it's none of it is guaranteed. But that was a good move for what they did, because I know you got Jameson Winston, and you can't go in and restructure anything with him. I mean, because he don't have that contract, so I can understand that Taysom had that huge contract already, the 2-year deal. So it was good that he was negotiated just to help out with the cap. For him to be a quarterback full time starter, I really don't know. We have to see him. I mean, he played 4 games, 3-1, 900-plus yards. He had his rushing yards on top of that as well. He did well while he was playing and taking over the throne when Drew Brees was out. But that doesn't say or do or mean anything in the NFL. I mean, at the end of the day, is to see if he can play a full season in 16 games. And at least we know that it's going to be a fruitful time to see what happens, and also see that Jameis Winston also got his contract together with a salary, also with a $12 million with incentive base with the $5.5 million salary. So that, I was happy to see that for him.
This is Bill Foreman from E2GSports.com with our good friend Jarvis Green talking football here. Now, Jarvis, I got a question. You know, I texted you the other day. We had 8 signings at the time. You know, Devin Godchart, Hunter Henry, Smith, the tight end, Kendrick Bourne, Aguilar, Judon, Hunter Anderson, Jalen Mills. I mean, so how do you feel the Patriots did with these signings on day one, since we never signed really anybody on day one of free agency? Any names excite you at all?
Oh, yeah. I think right now I will give the Belichick and the scouting department an A-plus right now when it comes to signing guys. Now, I don't really know what guys really have, like, you know, what they need, but I know somebody just told me that Patrick Chung is officially retiring. So
yeah,
we know for sure that, you know, Jalen Mills, I'm not even sure the position, but that was a good signee. But, you know, we all knew that. I was at an event with Patrick Chung maybe, I don't know, less than a month ago at the Boston Man magazine event, and he was there. We hung out. We talked. We took a couple of pictures, and he was more like, hey, I'm coming back, you know, coming back and this and that. But, hey, sometimes, you know, you got the wife at home, you got the kids at home, and they're like, hey, man, you did your time. You got some money saved to wait. Is it time to hang it up? You got a couple of Super Bowl rings. So much appreciated to Patrick Chung, but also with Bill, I mean, everything he did so far to get the first and second best tight end, and right when I saw that, guys, I'm like, Bill's going to get set up to run 12 personnel. He got Cam coming back. He's going to have a full season, off season. 12 personnel is a hard offense to stop. The last time they had some great tight ends was Brock Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez running the 12 personnel. You know, so seeing that, and also seeing I got some of my Louisiana guys that he signed, 3 guys, so I'm happy as well to see that. But they are stocking up. Bill's getting ready, and he has vengeance right now in free agency.
Jarvis enjoyed this here on the E2G Sports Podcast. Go ahead, Joe.
Speaking of your boys, what do you know about Godshaw, Judon, and Mills?
Nothing.
Oh, no, just...
Hey, I'm a lot older than those guys. I talked to Mills a couple of summers of spring times ago because one of the LSU spring games, I was one of the honorary captains, and I talked to him. He had a little green, dyed his hair, you know. So, you know, we were talking a little bit, but other than that, I mean, Godshaw, you know, I love his last name. It's so freaking Cajun, you know. So just to see those guys, you know, in New England, because the last time New England had a couple of LSU guys, they did pretty well.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Jarvis Green joins us here on the E2G Sports Podcast. Joe Ferrin, John Ahern here, two-time Super Bowl champion. Chef to you on tour, ocean97.com. Jarvis, you played under the guy. He's not arguably, he's the greatest coach that ever, you know, walked the sideline, in my opinion, in the NFL, and many opinions, probably yourself. What is his thought process going through all this? Can you get into the head a little bit? And was, you know, maybe was Brady winning that Super Bowl just lighting a fire under him this year and him just come out with a vengeance? Because, you know he reads the papers. We talked about that, and they hear stuff. And, you know, the people around here were ripping him pillar to post on, you know, just everything that he could do wrong and people wanting him out of here. Has a fire been lit under his butt, again, so to speak, in your opinion?
I mean, look, Belichick still has a heartbeat. He still has a pulse. It's all put together. We know what kind of person he is. He's competitively driven. His life or death with football with Coach. And, yeah, I mean, he saw what Brady did. I know they talked. You know, he congratulated him. Kraft congratulated him. I mean, people got to understand Brady was there for whatever, 20 years. I mean, that's a hell of a relationship. I don't care who you are as a human being, working for one employer, you know, in corporate America, wherever you are. So I know Belichick is competition, and it showed on the first 2 days of free agency that he's coming back. And the thing is, though, they're not done yet, you know. So, they still got some money to burn or to blow, whatever you want to call it. But it's just funny to see that because the entire world is talking about Brady with the Super Bowl win and then Coach Belichick, his mentor from the past is getting loaded up and load the guns up, you know, getting ready for the 2021 season. So it'll be a fun season to watch, I know that.
Now, you know, I asked you a couple weeks ago, Jarvis, when we talked, it's like they desperately need outside linebacker help and, you know, With the Judon signing and Van Noy Lee signing, how do you feel? Have they improved enough to, like, definitely be better at the linebacker position? But I feel as like with everything now, those two signings should actually help show up our outside linebacker position. What's your opinion on that?
You know what? You're saying Van Noy. I just saw that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The two-year deal, right, $13 million or whatever it is. So for him to come back and the Udon, it's kind of like some Udon noodles here. We're at a Chinese restaurant here. And, I mean, for those two guys to come back, well, to be there, it's going to be exceptional. And then you got the middle linebacker, you know, that he has set out because of COVID reasons. He's coming back. They're going to have a pretty stout – Bridge, what's it? What's his name, Bridge? I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, so they're going to be very stout with that force with the linebackers coming in. So, I mean, it's right now, I mean, again, my grade is A-plus on the free agency signings. And the good thing about it is that all these guys that they're signing, we know they're all going to play football. That's the good thing. It's not like bringing in a rookie class and not knowing what they could do in the NFL. These guys perform. These guys all played at high levels. So New England will be a different team. But look, let me say something right quick. We still need a deep threat, man, at receiver.
Aguilar is a stretcher. I mean, he's got the speed. Whether he can actually do it consistently is another question. But you know, I agree with you with, like, we need another deep threat and need something that can actually have Cam. But my answer to you now brings this up to you. Can Cam be better than last year? Can he throw the ball? You think his shoulder's that damaged, or you think he can do something with a better receiving core than he has now?
I think he could do something with a better receiver core. I think it's going to be helpful to have a strong defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be helpful. I think one full year under the belt of Josh and Bill, the people got to understand. I mean, Kim having his issues, and for him, I can't imagine how things went with him compared to. Let me say this. We know Brady met with Bill every morning, right? Every morning.
Yeah.
What happened when it went from Cam and then whoever was the next quarterback? So I know for Cam mentally, that's really hard, man. I mean, that's like you going to your boss, CEO, and you got to talk to him every day, no matter how good you do or how bad you do. You have to talk to him. But I'm saying, you know, in Brady time, Brady had his bad games, but it was once in a while. But then you look at Cam. Cam had some terrible games last year that he had 50, 60 yards passing, 50, 60 yards rushing. And it was minuscule. And then, I mean, he had to go up the next morning to meet up with Bill Belichick. So I have no idea what was going through his head. And either that could make you stronger or make you weaker. Because, I mean, come on, man. I mean, Bill would sit there and look at you and not have any facial expression. And you don't know if you freaking – there or not, are you going to cut or not, are you still in good graces or not? So I can understand with him right now, it's a mental battle with him. So he has to really, really, again, they're giving him this contract, you know, $14, $15 million. I think he deserved that last year. I think that's going to help him perform as well. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, just say they had a job opening and they said they're going to pay you $150,000 a year. And you walk in and you're only getting $50,000 a year. But they want you to do the same exact thing. I mean, that's kind of hard mentally. That's a mental struggle right there off bat. So I think with him getting this type of money to play, he had to prove everything. And right now, there's no excuses, none.
Two-time Super Bowl champion Jarvis Green joins us, Joe and Chips, here on the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast, Humpty Edition, if you will. Jarvis, I know we were just talking about Cam Newton, and there are rumors that they may make, there's stuff going on social media and sites here, that they may make a quarterback move today. But let's say Cam Newton is the starter. And when they signed the two tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, that basically told me that going into the season, he's number one on the depth chart unless someone beats him. So I think, hey, bringing two tight ends in, Trent Brown back on the offensive line. We know what a mammoth guy he is. They left out of him a few years ago under Dante Scarnecchia, although he's not there. It told me that Newton's going to be back. But Cam Newton is no excuse. They're building a team that he can function with and be successful with, even if he doesn't have a deep threat. I mean, Kendrick Bourne's there, Nelson Aguilar. But two tight ends told me a lot about where they want to go with this team, specifically with the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, it's that 12 personnel, you know, and I was telling my guys in the text message, and I told them, listen clearly, for a 12 personnel offense, you don't have to have the best passing quarterback, mm-hmm. but you're going to have a quarterback that's strong in the run game and the passing and versatile. It'll be versatile. But also, you need some type of decent running back to excel in his 12 personnel. And I think Bill is putting that together because use Cam's strengths, you know, and mm-hmm. go to his strengths and don't paralyze him, but bring the troops around him to gather up, you know. So I think with what's going on now and with the offensive linemen and everything, I think it's going to be a pretty good offensive powerhouse that we could say that we could hang our hat on this year. But again, like you said, we don't know if they're going to have a decision with the quarterback, but we got to just wait and see what happens.
This is Joe Foreman for E2G Sports Network with Jarvis Green. Jarvis, not the change of original team. What's your opinion on New Orleans? They let Janoris Jenkins go, but yet strong rumors have it out there that they're seriously trying to get Richard Sherman signed. Do you like that move?
Say that again?
The Saints let Janoris Jenkins go. They released him last week. And they're seriously thinking about signing Richard Sherman. You like that move?
Richard Sherman? Wait. Signing where?
Down in the Saints. New Orleans trying to sign him.
Oh, really? Really? I mean, you know what? Sherman, he's a hell of a player. He's still playing. He got that big mouth on him, but he still got his skills, his performance. So I think that'd be a good move for the Saints. I mean, I mean, with the Saints, I don't know. I mean, they got the running back, they got the receiver, they got the offensive line, they got the great coaching staff. I mean, Drew Brees is gone. They got Taysom Hill, they got Winston. I mean, and the defense has been very stout, you know, and consistent as well. So, I mean, that's going to be a great move for them to sign Richard Sherman. I think so.
Jarvis Green, Jarvis too. You talk about Sherman. He's that guy who carries a little swag, a little boisterous, a little demonstrative around the field. That can play well into a defense, especially a physical defense, and kind of give him a little character, and people can feed off of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they may need that little swag, man, because that goes a long way, man, with confidence. And also, it's like contagious, you know. When people see that and see that type of action on the field, or even off the field, I think it's going to help a lot of the younger guys as well. But he's also going to be a great mentor to a lot of the younger guys coming behind him. I mean, he's an all pro bowler, you know, cornerback. I mean, he plays to the highest level that you can play at.
I mean, it's not official yet, but they are seriously chasing him and trying to get him signed. So, I mean, I just was looking for the opinion. I mean, I love that idea because with that team, that's the type of team he would fit perfectly in with.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, we just got to wait and see as well. I mean, free agency is still live and pumping. So, I'm going to try my best to keep up with what's going on as well. I know what the Saints do. I just called one of my best friends who's been, you know, a Saints ticket holder for, I don't know, the last 25 years, and he's nuts about everything. He kind of called me like, man. So I'm just sitting here laughing about it and hoping that they have some success this year with the new quarterbacks up next.
Jarvis, rumors also that James White could up in Tampa Bay, which may spell a change of scenery for one Leonard Fournette. And you know my feeling on Touchdown Lenny. He's one of your LSU boys as well. I think he'd be a great addition. I love the power. I love the speed. I love what he brings out of the backfield. And again, 7 games in the playoffs, 8 touchdowns. I mean, what team would not want this guy? And I think he's going to end up somewhere as well. But that could be a addition by subtraction, if you will, or vice versa for Tampa if they were to lose Fournette go, because he was so key for them in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he was. Touchdown Lenny. Leonard was. And like you say, James White, he may be going to Tampa. That's what you just said?
Yeah, there's rumors.
Wow, that's probably Brady doing, you know?
The band back together, so to speak.
Yeah, at the same time. So hopefully Leonard get a shot somewhere, get some good money. And, you know, he get back on his feet with everything, you know, just the confidence level. I did see that about James White on Twitter somewhere. I mean, they got so many social media platforms. You always cross your phone, you know, and then you start looking for it, you can't even find it. I'm like, where is it, you know? So I did see that about James White maybe talking to Tampa right now. So
I feel that would be a half step backwards, because as much as I like White, I think Fournette's a better fit in Tampa Bay than White is. I just, you know, Fournette is the guy who's keep for the season and definitely using the playoffs. So, I mean, I think that's a step backwards for myself. But it'd be a good sign for New England.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it could be. So we got to just see what happens with that. I didn't know James White was a free agency. I mean, I haven't really kept up with him and the running backs. I mean, I'm more on the defensive side, keeping up with those guys, you know.
Jarvis Green joined us. Okay, Jarvis, football aside, you know, it's going to keep on going. It's going to happen. Let's talk about what's going on. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks. What's the update we have to you? Tell us about OSU 97. And tell our listeners about Jeff to you and what to expect and where things are coming with everything going on business-wise in your life.
Yeah, well, shout to you. It's going pretty well. We're still putting the app together. We got the back page, the interfaces all coming together nice and clean. I was in Naples this past week doing some stuff for charity, giving back some things at a place. It was an event at the Naples Air Hangar for Seacrest Country Day School. This was like the 36th event. Very nice event. Also with Porsche Staples. You know, they took care of me, got me in a little Porsche for a few days, riding around town, zooming the streets, running away from cops and all those good things, you know. But right now, Chef to You, we should be launching like May 1st, but it's going to be like Florida first. We have a deal with a huge mall group, so we're going to be doing that. But then hopefully we can come back to Boston and Providence, hopefully like around football season. It's just kind of crazy right now with COVID because it's like nobody really knows what's going to happen with football season. And I know they got a lot of restaurants that's ready to get open, you know. I mean, unlike down south, I mean, Florida wide open. Louisiana, I think 75-80%. You know, Texas is wide open. So hopefully we can get the same thing in the next month that we open up the New England area since we got the vaccines going around. So even with that, I mean, with Ocean's 97, I hadn't even been at the Houston at the Cougars Dining Hall on campus for Houston University, and that was with Compass Group Chartwell's division. So things are picking back up, you know, for Ocean's 97. I mean, I still have my shrimp pate on Amazon. It's in the local stores down here. I'm trying to move around a little bit, but I'm trying to do it precisely to the point that I don't have to burn up any money, you know?
Right.
Well, that's a good deal. I can't wait to Chef You launches up here in Boston in the Providence area because, like, you know, it's such a great idea, such an outstanding thing to do. And I think it'll take off well up here. And right now we're about 75% wide open. It's like we're just almost there. The finish line is almost there, Jarvis. I mean, right now there is no limitation on restaurants up here. Just the 6-foot rule still in place. But we're almost there.
Well, that's good because I know the last time I was up there, I kind of go off the occupancy of the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was at Boston Park Plaza, and I know there was like 18%. You know, so I know people are getting out, but it's like people are still kind of worried about the hotels and, I guess, an enclosed area, you know. But I'm going to be up there soon. I'm going to go in kick some doors in, you know. Probably the place you work at, Joe. So I'm going to tell them to put a gas mask on. I'm coming in the spring.
I love it.
Next time you're up here, Jarvis, you come on the island of Misfit Toys called Middletown, Rhode Island, and you kick the door in, and you take
I'm
knock some sense into him.
Yes, let's do it. I'm kicking my door in backwards with the back leg. Yeah, not
bingo.
Forward. But I'm up there like end of March. 31st to like April the 8th, so we got to catch up and get a cigar. So
definitely, you're preaching to the choir, Jarvis.
Yes,
sir.
Anyway, Chef to You, you can find him on Instagram. You can go www.thechef2you.com. Joe, if you have any final thoughts,
Jarvis, my store manager was like, on stink the other day with my district manager. It wouldn't let me near him. It's like he knew I wanted to corner my district manager the other morning. And I'm like, you SOB, leave him alone so I can corner him and bust his balls. But he wouldn't let him alone. So I'm like, so my district manager will be in again. And I'll be hitting him up.
Boy, that's what I was talking about kicking some doors in. I'm going to come up there and kick some doors in.
Oh,
yeah,
so I'm so looking forward to it, my man.
Oh, definitely. But thank you, definitely. But thank y'all for giving me time to share news about my companies and, you know, what's going on with me in my life as well. Thank y'all.
Jarvis, anytime, man. You're not only one of the contributors here, but I consider you a friend of mine and Joe, so we appreciate all you do and what you do. And I love your work ethic, man. If you need any extra muscle, we're here for you. But, again, he's Jarvis. Green, former Patriots defensive lineman, two-time Super Bowl champion, entrepreneur with chef2you.com, Instagram, and ocean97.com. Some delicious shrimp pate, fresh, keto-friendly. Any diet you're on, healthy. It's springtime up here in the Northeast. We're getting into it. So, Jarvis, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining us and appreciate your time as ever. And take care of yourself.
All right, thank you, guys. Definitely.
Thank you,
Jarvis. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jarvis.
All right, thank you.
You bet. That's Jarvis Green, former Patriots Super Bowl champion, defensive lineman, about 8-9 years here in New England for the Patriots back in the heyday, back in the glory days, soon to hopefully be achieved by them. Always a pleasure to talk to Jarvis. It's been a while, but good things going on with Jarvis, man. He's a busy guy. He's a busy dude, man. He keeps him. He's got that engine. I admire him. Just doesn't give up.
I love talking to the man. I love talking to the guy. He's got a motor that just won't stop.
I like the fact when he said, tell us about your LSU guys. What do you know about him? He said nothing.
I look. He's honest. That's why I love
no,
him.
No, I love
so
it. The game hasn't passed him by, but he hasn't been played football in a while. But that's you forget. It seems like yesterday when he was a member of the Patriots and we were covering him here at the Score in Providence.
No, look, it's good talking as usual. And, you know, I love talking to him, but, you know, now it's time to segue into what season is it, Chips? What season
it
is
it? It is time to talk, as my buddy Rex Hudlew would say, time to talk about the grand game, and that is baseball.
Ooh.
And they're in the dawn 2 weeks from opening day. So without further ado, Johnny Sunchips, Joe Forrier here on the E to the Ground Sports Podcast. It is the hump day edition, belated today, if you will. It is Thursday, the 18th of March, 2021. It is live. We're live at 10:41 Eastern Time here, obviously, in the Northeast. And we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to talk a little National League East preview, as we do. We've been doing the past couple of weeks. So if you want to join us and talk some baseball, please do. Always a line open at 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702. We are the Unsung Sports Grid, part of the E2G Sports Network. Lots going on. If you want to find out more of what's going on, by all means, log on to e2gsports.com. Some good articles, some insight, some stuff of where we're going, where we've been, what we're doing, kind of the mission statement, if you will. And if you want to listen to this podcast live or on delay, all our podcasts and all the others on the network are available on e2gsports.com. Scroll down to where you see podcasts, click, and you have a plethora of culinary verbal treats, if you will.
Yes, we do. That e2gsports.com is a thing now. It's click on it. So what team do you want to talk about, Johnny?
Well, let's go. I have them here. We'll go like down. I usually do the alphabetized. So we're going to do the NL East this week, and we'll preview the AL East next week because we had Jarvis come on sort of like last minute and kind of get some takes on what's going on in the NL free agency world and just kind of tidbits and news and notes around the league, if you will. But let's start with one of the teams I know you're fond of, the Atlanta Braves. Last season finished first in the division, 35-25 was the record. People forget that this team was up 3-0 in game 5 of a series they were leading 3-1 against the soon-to-be world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that got better. Jill, I'll let you go because I know you're getting affinity for this team. But a couple of transactions. Obviously, Charlie Morton, a big signing. Outfielder Guillermo Heredia from the Mets was acquired. Jake Lamb at third base signed to a one-year contract. This team is right there in a team that could really, really make amends. A real talented team. And, oh, by the way, the team of the 90s had a great farm system. This team is right. This is a Braves team that's going to get better year to year. And let's start with you and your take on the Braves because I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about this team.
Well, this team, I mean, Soroka, he may not start the season in rotation, but he's there by the end of the first month. Clyde, Morton, Ian Anderson, Smiley, Kyle Wright. I mean, just look at the rotation. You can challenge anybody, including the Dodgers. Dodgers may be a little bit better, but no. As far as the Braves, I think they rule the roost as far as the starting rotation in the NL East. Mets are a close second, but the Braves are just so loaded. I mean, look at the kids. I mean, Jake Lamb was signed, and he might not even start third base for him because the kid Riley, Austin Riley, that's the kid. You got Dansby Swanson, and we got Acuña. I mean, Freddie Freeman. I mean, the team is just so loaded with kids, young. It's not like the old It's like they're young. It's like, you know, as soon as we get one on the team, and he's like, it's just like Albies. I mean, it's just go down the line, and it's like, wow. It's like, you know, you got Christian Posh. I mean, kids alone coming up are replenishing the system as they go along. Like you said, the 90s, they had a pipeline, and now the Braves still have that pipeline going. The Red Sox ought to take notes on this one.
Agree. And, you know, it starts with a minor system. Jofer and Johnny Sunchips here, Hump Day Podcast on blogtalkradio.com. You know, you talk about a team that's young and stocked at the minor league level. So all that does is open things up. If you look at a trade deadline, when you build that farm system, you build for times when you can bring on a player to get you over the hump and a stretch run to a World Series. We've seen that with Theo here in Boston, and it's a really key to a success of a baseball team in the cusp of this Braves team. As you talk about a team that offensively led the majors last year in both on-base percentage and slugging percentage, and they scored an average of 5 runs a game, second only to the Dodgers. And you look at all things trending upwards, but let's talk about the pitching staff, Joe. The addition of Charlie Morton, a big boost to a rotation that outside of Max Fried and Ian Anderson last year had a 7.33 ERA. Morton gets better with age like a fine wine. And in a team without a DH, he could have some real good success in a much-needed slot in that rotation.
Oh, agreed. I mean, it's, you know, you got rid of your number 4 or 5 starter. You know, just, I couldn't even pronounce his name. He went to Texas. And you replace it with Morton, and Drew Smyly should rebound from last year, at least to give you a serviceable number 4, number 5 starter. I mean, the kid Cartwright, at least, you know, he'll give you some spot starts here and there. It, like, should help. But, I mean, it just, you know, Fried came out of nowhere because, I mean, yeah, he was a prospect, but he didn't really flourish until last year. He came out of his shell. And he's just going to get better. And Soroka is just, like, solidified. He's a solid number 1. Morton's a solid number 2. I mean, it just, you know, to me, I don't see a 5-game losing streak anywhere on that. It's like, you know, you talk about instant stopping a slide, and it's like you got 3 or 4 guys that can stop it dead in its tracks. I mean, so I like I said, I love this team. It's my NL team. Always is, always will be. It's like, well, I love them, and it's just like the amount. And don't forget, they have this ex-Red Sox player that's going to put him over the top, Pablo Sandoval. And, you know, we'll be all set.
Yeah, Chasen Kipnis and Pablo Sandoval vying for spots on the roster. He's Joe Forend and Johnny Sunchips. We're previewing the National League East and Major League Baseball on this Thursday, the 18th of March, 10:48 a.m. live Eastern Time. In the year 2021 of our good Lord. You talk about a team that makes contact, Joe. They go up there aggressive. They swung and missed only 12% of the time last year. You put balls in play, more often than not, you're going to either force a mistake by the defense or you're going to get on base. The more you make contact, the better it bodes well for an offense. I mean, they talk about that because, again, that's just another notch in their belt.
It's something that's missing in today's game, contact, hitting for contact. You know, the swing and miss, home run or nothing, these solo home runs won't win you games. It's like, you know, the contact, good things happen when you make contact because not every play is going to be made. You're going to find the holes. You're forcing teams to play defense. It's plain and simple philosophy that's been there over the age of time. It's just the analytics of things have gotten out of control and have tried to take over. But nothing changes. It's contact. It's a contact sport. And they do it well. They do it very well.
An offense that led the major leagues in doubles with 160 games. You talk about the pitchers, too. You know, you talk about junk ballers. Again, I'm going to put the stat out for you. 46% of the time, They 46% of the time, the pitchers for the Braves, and this is Charlie Morton fits in, threw off speed stuff. So they're confusing us. that's pretty 50-50. So that can confuse an offense as well. And I think Morton fits in with that philosophy, if you will, call it analytics. But again, they seem to be doing the right things, well coached, well organized on a team. And you look at the wins, 5-year trend starting in 2016, wins 68, 72 the next year, 90 the next year, 97 in 2019, and they were projected with 94 last year. So again, this team is pointing upward in this division and getting better. And with the minor league system is young and the future ahead, I mean, you're looking at a potential run like the Braves did in the 90s. And let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, they can only win one World Series, but I think they won 13, 14 consecutive divisions, Joe. And again, we get caught up in that. They didn't win as many worlds as they should. But if you go in any sport and win that many divisions in a row back in the 90s and it was a little more balanced and the analytics were a big part of it, they were a great team that maybe not as recognized as how good they were, even though they only got that one World Series win, if you will.
Oh, they get murdered for that. They get raked over the coals for the fact that they only won one World Series. But think, they went two or three other World Series where they were in game sevens.
Yep.
I mean, just they're there. They were at the cusp. They just didn't get over that, but it doesn't take away from how good and how great they were. Just, you know, I'm impressed with the fact that 5 years ago, they had 67, 70 wins, which means they've got people in place that know how to draft baseball players.
Right.
Know how to develop these baseball players. And, oh, wait, you're starting to see them now. Acuna, Albies, Swanson. You seen these guys that were drafted, and you brought them up through the system, and now they're on a major league team. So, I mean, they've got a mixture of vets and kids, and they've done it the right way. And it's like teams need to take notes of this, because it's like not every team out there knows how to draft players and bring them up. And the Braves and the Dodgers just seem to have pipelines from their minor league system to the major league team, and it's no doubt, no reason why that's why they're on top, because if you have a minor league system, you're going to stay there because you got to always refill the tank. And if you get a minor league system and refill it, you're golden.
They are. And yeah, they're one of the teams, and MLB's doing a nice little countdown to the top 10 farm systems. The Braves will be right up there at the top with Tampa and so forth. And according to this, a team that you have another affinity for, maybe in the negative sense, the Pittsburgh Pirates, according to MLB.com, has the 8th best farm system in all of baseball. So good things coming for Pirates, if you will. Don't you think there, Joe?
Good. I hope so. And then they can trade them off for nothing and back to square one.
Oh, speaking of square one, let's move on to another team on our Hump podcast here. We're putting down the preview in the National League East and Major League Baseball. We just go through with the Braves. Let's go right down to a team that surprised a lot last year. The Miami Marlins. They were 31-29 last year and made the playoffs. In the year of COVID, where they were racked with decimation, they found a little winning culture there. 11-13 at home, on the road, 20-14. Gio Gonzalez agreed to terms, left-handed pitcher. Outfielder Adam Duvall in the mix as well. Obviously, they were projected as winning 84 games over that last year. But, Joe, we wouldn't have expected that from a team that basically kind of gutted everything and built that strong foundation. And albeit a short season, you can call them overachievers, paid off at least last year, because you talk about a scrappy little team. They were playing, even in the playoffs, they had everything to get from that experience last year. And how do they move forward as a young organization?
I mean, don't sell Miami short. They just happen to be in the wrong division against the powerhouses. But Alcantara, Pablo Lopez, Sixto Sanchez, 3 solid pitchers at the top of rotation, all kids, all young. Sanchez is primed to be a number one for years to come. And, like, Alcantara, kids, no slugs neither. So, I mean, you know, they've got the pitching staff there in place. It's like, you know, they got kids. But, you know, and just so you know, just a little side bit, they only spend $62 million. Pittsburgh, not spending your money wisely. But, you know, sorry I had to get a little
in
there, but, you know, they've got some plays on the team. They got the ball. They got a kid named Chisholm at second base that they're still waiting to develop. Can he develop into a player? Can he develop into a 4-5-2 player that he'd be there? So it's like, you know, you just never know. And, oh, just so you know, just a little side bit on the Marlins here of the Salt River Raptors and the Jacksonville Jump Shrimp are some of their minor league team names.
But a little breaking news here, courtesy of our Grand Poobah, our program director, Andre. Apparently, the Bruins Buffalo Sabre game canceled because of breaking COVID with both teams. Do a research on that. Thanks to Benny Andre for shoveling that up as we break here on the E3 Sports Podcast. So Bruins Sabre canceled tonight. Concerns. I'm not sure to the extent of it. Both teams apparently will be okay, but you know, it's going to rear its ugly head. But you know, hopefully the legal trudge on, but you get through it as you can. But right now, Bruins Sabres just canceled, just breaking due to COVID concerns of today's game on the frozen pond, if you will. So thanks to Buddy Andre for updating us on that. Let's talk about the let's move on with the Miami Marlins. So you know, you talk about overachievers, but here's what's good about that season and the young team. 61 players used in 60 games, the most in the majors. And that was basically due. You talk about silver lining to a dark cloud. Due to COVID, they had to use all these players. Fast forward to this season, experience pays dividends. I like their team speed, Joe. They had the third lowest strikeout to walk ratio for pitchers in the last 4 years. And so I like what's going on with the team. They were on the wrong side of blocks in 5-run games. They were 6-13. So it seems to be they may be a front running team, if you will. But if you're looking at some good things, a young team like this having fun, well managed. I mean, Don Mattingly's proven to be a pretty darn good manager. Mel Stahlheim, the pitching coach, I was shocked to see him still around. But a team that's got some cores there and got some leadership. Talk about Jarek Jeter and the owners. A team that, again, in the wrong division, but really could make life miserable for other teams in the division. A fun team to watch. And, again, it's something to take from these young teams. They're fun to watch and how they grow and just out there. And I love teams that station to station who have speed on defense and offense. But for my own team, don't sleep on them just yet.
No, I wouldn't. It's like the last guy to mention quickly was Dylan Marte, which should be their offensive leader this year, coming into the year. So, I mean, the guy, like, they've got some offense, they've got some pitching. You just play facing the Mets and the Braves and the Phillies and the Nationals. It's an uphill climb for the Marlins. So I give them credit for staying competitive in that very, what I consider the best division in baseball from top to bottom.
No question about it. No question about it. It's fun to watch, and again, a young team, but can bode well. And you never know. Hey, you never know. Some of these teams, you know, something. The cream always rises to the top. But again, it's last year, and again, we can't take a lot from last year, and how we can project. I mean, they were projected for 84 wins last year, and you look at their 5-year trends in 2016, 79 wins. Down to 77, down to 63. But here we go with the upward swing, 57 in 2019 and a projected 84 last year. So the arrow, at least for this year, is pointing upwards for the Miami Marlins in a relatively, and you could argue, maybe the strongest division from top to bottom in all of baseball, especially in the National League. And we'll talk about that as we move.
Breaking news again. Fearless leader said game back on.
Say that again?
Our fearless leader just texted
the game's
back on.
Okay, you got it? Okay, good. All right, cool. So, more breaking news. Apparently, the game is still going to be played at 1 o'clock. They canceled the morning skate, but probably testing and stuff we'll get through. So, we'll keep posted. But as of now, the game that was canceled is back on, if you will. The Bruins Sabres will take the ice tonight for a puck drop approximately 7 o'clock, maybe a few minutes after. So get back on. Again, the day and age you live in with COVID, we'll keep you posted with that. And thanks to Buddy Andre again for chiming in and helping us with this show as well. I always appreciate what it does. As the PD, as the MFIP, if you will, the E2G Sports Network. Again, Joe Friend, Johnny Sunshift here, previewing the NL East in Major League Baseball on this Wednesday, Thursday, the 8th of March, 2021. 59 a.m. Eastern time here live for about another half hour or so. Let's move right along, Joe, on our Unsung Sports Show. Let's preview the Mets, a team again, just another team, good team in the division. Last year, 26-34, 12-17 at home. On the road, they 14-17. A Mets team that got better. Acquisition of Francisco Lindor, or even Carlos Carrasco from Cleveland. For infielders, Ahmad Rosario, Andrés Giménez, and two minor league prospects. Jose Martinez, infielder, outfielder, inked to a one-year deal, as well as old friend Kevin Pillar to a one-year deal. I like the starting rotation, man. Syndergaard, DeGrom is a stud. Carlos Carrasco, again, a Mets team that I think is going to really make that jump this year. Your opinion on that?
Oh, I agree, because Noah Syndergaard, you'll get him by mid-season or later after July, August, because of the Tommy John surgery. So you just take DeGrom, Stroman, Carrasco, Tejon Walker, Peterson, Lucchesi. I mean, so they've got a strong enough rotation to hold the ground and not lose any ground, because once Syndergaard comes back, that's, like I said, that's 1A, 1-1A with the Braves as far as the division, as far as rotations go. I mean, DeGrom's just, like, got killer stuff. I mean, the guy is just, like, on another stratosphere as far as I'm concerned. He's just getting better with age, and it's like he's still a kid. And that team is built for the long run right now. So, I mean, you know, they kind of – Carrasco's the guy that's going to eat up innings for him. Stroman, ex-Blue Jay, he's another guy that's going to eat some innings for you. So, I mean, it's very, very – I mean, Alonso, offensively, is going to be great. Conforto is just, like, out of this world. Between the two of them, it's like, you know, Lindor is going to solidify that infield. I mean, you got McCann, just a veteran, behind the backstop. I mean, the team is – look, I'm not a Mets fan, but, I mean, the team is ready to roll and ready to make the next step, I feel. Ready to take over New York City. Oh, wait. Move over, Yankees.
Yep, the back pages of the Daily News and New York Post could be taken by the Mets this year, but at least they're in the mix. It's not going to be as one-sided as it will, but you talk about, you know, Jacob DeGrom, 98.6 average miles per hour fastball. His average miles per hour on his slider, 92.5. You want to talk about a pitcher? We always talk about hitting it at 12-6. He can. That ball can roll right off the end of the table if this guy wants it. This guy has everything that is in a pitcher.
Yeah, no, it's like that is the nastiest pitch you ever want to see. At that speed, to drop 12-6, and it's just like just the table to drop underneath it. It's like, oh, I'd hate to be a batter up there trying to, like, decipher if that's a fastball or if it's his off-speed pitch, and, like, ouch. That's like you got a split second to decide. Get some ugly swings from his pitches.
Dominic Smith projected to hit fifth in the lineup. He's hit 60 doubles through 20. He has the most 21 doubles through 60 games, which is the most in team history through their first 60 games. So he's a guy with speed who can get on. Team batting average last year, 272. I didn't realize that. The best in baseball.
Well, That's pretty damn good. It's like, you know, it's only going to get better. You got Pilar, Nimmo in the center field position. I mean, Lindor, Adams at second, at third base, McNeil at second. I mean, it's a solid lineup, top to bottom. I mean, it's like no real holes there, as per se, as you would think there would be. But no, it's just I love what this team's done. I like. They've overcome all the stuff during the off season and just concentrated on baseball. They've looked good during the spring so far. So, you know, they're just putting the other stuff in the back burner, just like concentrating on baseball, which is what they need to do.
And you're talking about three more combinations. I'll tell you one we're going to hear from this year. It's all the makings of something really big. Are Michael Conforto and Pete Alonso in the 3 and 4 spot respectively. Some production right there that's to be had pretty soon.
Oh, that's just like, you know, that's a That's a poppy. A 3-4 that the Red Sox had for years, and that's a 3-4 that can challenge with anybody. It's like, no, that's a Poppy Manny 3-4 that we had for many years. Alonzo Conforto, that's you're going to pitch around one to get to the other? I don't think so. It's like, you know, that's a hard 3-4 to get around. So, I mean, and Smith with the double machine, that's just, you know, it's a powerful lineup. I mean, and obviously they swing for contact, but 272 batting average, team average, you're not striking out a lot of players. It's like they can play small ball, they can play long ball. That's a dangerous team.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at ownership, and it all starts at the top, man. If you're a Mets fan, you got to be geeked. Because Steve Cohen has spared no expense. $2.475 billion, the biggest price, the record sale for the New York Mets. He's a guy, and this is what he lives by, man. He's, you know, win today, win tomorrow, spare no expense. And that's what you want from an owner, to spend money and go out there. And he gets it. If he's a form, you know, he's a fan of the Mets as well, but he realizes the fact that they're competing not only in the division, but in baseball, in a big market in New York. So I like that from an owner, aggressive owner like that. And you knew as soon as he took over, all these things happened. So if you're a Mets fan, this is good. And that stuff trickles down, Joe, through organizations. You know, if you're a player or a coaching staff or in the organization, you're looking up at the top and your guy is saying, I want to make you guys winners and I'm not going to spare any expense. More owners should be like that. Bingo.
Name to keep an eye on is Trevor May in the bullpen. You got Edgar Diaz basically and Familia in there, but Trevor May is a name to keep an eye on the Mets. So, like I said, it's a solid team, very solid. This is like, that's why I say it's one of the toughest divisions in baseball. Look, I love the AL East, but no, I hate to say this, but the NL East is kind of loaded. And they are loaded. I mean,
yeah,
these teams, the number 4 or 5 teams are like, wow. I'm like, hell, put them in other divisions, and they're winning the division year in, year out. I mean, so it's just, I'm loving what I see in the NL East. It's going to be a very, very good season to watch baseball in the NL East.
I agree. And for a prospect, I mean, the top prospect that they have, a top draft pick of Pete Crow Armstrong. You familiar with him, outfielder?
No, that I'm not. That I didn't.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, they got a top. If he's their top boy and his outfielder, if they could use it, it's like, I'm not, you know, if anything, it's like, Pilar is good, but that kid Nimmo should help him out, and Smith, so it's like, you know, Pilar's always a good defensive player, but he's just never been known for his offense, never. He's always been known for his defensive prowess, so I mean, you know, he's a good eighth inning, little switch guy, if you may, in the NL. Perfect guy for the double switch going on out there. So, you know, if they can bring some prospects up and let them play, get their feet wet, it'll only make that team stronger, especially in the outfield.
He's super, and I'm Johnny Sensitz here on the E2G Sports Network, E2GSports.com. We have the Unsung Sports Grid. It is Thursday, the 18th of March, 2021. We're 2 weeks from opening day here in Boston. We're previewing the National League East in Major League Baseball. And you want to talk payrolls, Joe, we're going to move on to the Phillies. But four of the top 14 teams on payroll are in the NL East. Atlanta has the 14th, moving up. Washington has 8th on the list. And the Phillies and Mets are 4-3 respectively. Let's move on to that Philly team, which had spent money as well. Reed returns infield to Bryce Hopkins. Last year, 28-32. Little disappointing, obviously. But a team that still has some talent. Brad Miller's in the mix on a one-year deal. Hopkins re-signed for a one-year deal. Vince Velasquez, a right-handed pitcher. Jose Alvarez, a left-handed pitcher, also in one-year deals. Talk about this Philly team, because this is what's killed them. The last 33-53, the last 3 years. They've been in contention entering the month of September the last 3 seasons and have failed. So they're not getting it done clutch and late. So let's talk about this Philly team, William, what your thought is. McCutcheon there, Bryce Harper. But talk about Nola and that rotation to start off on the mound.
Oh, Nola's just killer. It's like, you know, the number two guy could be Zach Evans or it could be Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler of the Mets, who, like, had Tommy John surgery, kind of floundered didn't make it in the big leagues for a while, but he's finally found his own, found his footing, if you may. And it's like, but that Nola at the top of that rotation can compete with any, can compete with the Sorokas of the world, can compete with the DeGrom. He may not be as great as DeGrom, but he's still, hey, look, he's a solid number one pitcher. Any team would love to have him as a solid number one. Let's not kid ourselves. And it's like, you know, you got Zach Wheeler behind him, Zach Eflin, Matt Moore, Anderson, Howard, Vasquez. So, I mean, you know, you've got a decent pitching staff because where the pieces will fall as far as the four and fives, you never know. Look, as the season goes along, you need more than five starting pitchers out there because you get a 162-game season. Very rarely you don't have any injuries along the way, and it's going to happen. But that team is, like, top to bottom. The rotation's solid. I mean, you know, you had mentioned the guys. Don't forget, they got the best pitcher in baseball behind the backstop, Freddy Abelto. The guy hit. He's got speed. He's got power. That's the bandbox over there in Philadelphia. He had a bad year last year. Yeah, did 60 games. He could have bounced back. He never knows. And it's like he's definitely the best catcher in baseball, top to bottom. So, I mean, Hoskins, the first base I like. Seager, I like at second base. Bond is just a kid. DG, there's issues there right now because he had a concussion and he got hit on the wrist, so they're not sure what's going on with the wrist. So there's questions there with his health going into the season. Unfortunately, that happened over the last week. So it's like you just don't know how that's going. Hopper, he's got a lot to prove this year because he's like one of the better hitters. McCutcheon, I mean, Kennery, I mean, that team is, again, another team in the wrong division because it's like, ouch. It's like you read this and you're like, oh, these are the favorites. And I'm like, no, they're destined for number three in the division. And it's like they're fighting for the third spot in the division with Washington. And it's like you look at the team and you go, how? It's like the team's pretty loaded. Got a solid team top to bottom, and it just shows you how the NL East is stacked.
Yeah, Carney, you're talking Philadelphia Phillies baseball here and kind of previewing NL East preview, which launched on the 2G Sports Podcast on the edition on the Ear to the Ground Sports Network. Talk about, and he's a polarizing guy, Bryce Harper, but you can't argue his play. I know your thoughts on him, too, because he had 49 walks last year, which is most in the majors. He gets on base a lot. A little demonstrative. Kind of rubs people the wrong way if he's not on your team. You might love him if he's on your team. But he's fifth amongst – he's the fifth best amongst players right now with an on-base percentage, career-wise, at .387. So he gets it done. Let's talk about him. And projected lineup right now is him hitting third and Reese Hopkins hitting fourth. You're looking at protection. I mean – again, you talk about threes and fours. Hopkins can get it done if he's healthy. I mean, this could be another 3-4 combination we're talking about in a competitive AL East. Joe.
You know, definitely, Hopkins, he needs to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, the kid can get it done. That's the problem. That's just it's, right now, he had an off year last year. A few of these guys had off years last year. I think Hopkins can sit there and he can give you 30 home runs, he can give you 100 RBIs, and if he can bat 270 or better, what are you going to complain about? What's there to argue about? But that's the thing. It's just, as long as you can hit 270 or better, get contact, because if not, they're going to pitch around Hopper all day long, hence the walks, the most walks in baseball, because you know what? You can tell the guy behind the mat off here because you get all the walks, and you know, give him credit for taking the walks and not swinging at bad pitches. And it's like, you know, you say 3-4, and then you add McCutcheon to that list, and it's like that's another good bat in the lineup, an excellent bat in the lineup. So, like, you know, Realmuto, it's like, so, I mean, you got four solid hitters in that lineup, in that bandbox you call Philly, because it's like it's a small park. Home runs can fly out of there at times. It's like – Hop is another guy. He's stay healthy for the 162 games. If he can, yeah, he's demonstrative. But who else would want on your team? It's like, of course you want demonstrative guys. You like the guys that you love on your team or you hate them on the other team. Who cares if other teams hate you? You're there to earn respect on your team and to play the game. Well, so you demonstrate too much. So you're outspoken too much. At least he's telling people how he feels. He's not holding in, and he's letting you know how it is. And he's always been that way. And it's like, I like him for that. I respect him for that because he's going to tell you like it is.
Right. Joe Ferrand here, Johnny Sunchips here on the E2G Sports Network. If you want to talk with us, please do. Line open for you as well, 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702 for about another 15 minutes. We're live at 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time on the 18th of March in the good Lord year of 2021. You know, and again, we talk about pitching, but I'll hit on the pitching again. Talk about hitting, I mean, but the pitching as well. Aaron Nola, 67 quality starts in the past four seasons, eighth best in the league. Zach Efron into in his 10 starts last year. But, again, it's the closing situation that worries me in the division that may come down to pitching, Joe. 12 lone saves last year. Archie Bradley, who had one from Arizona, maybe the guy brought in. How important is it going to be for them to get to the closer and the closer situation in a division where it can get away from you easily?
Oh, I agree. That's how I kind of blows my mind that you let Workman walk away. And I'm like,
yep.
That guy, Workman was the guy that could have got you to the seventh or eighth inning guy, and you let him go. And I don't think that was a smart move by him. And it's like, true, as good as your top of the rotation is, if you don't have a middle relief or a closer, then it's all for naught. And I agree with you on that one. I couldn't agree any more than I do on that one, John.
I'd agree. So, but again, it's another deep division. We'll see what happens if the Phillies can contend, if they just get things right, obviously. But again, you try and look at last season. It's almost to the point, Joe, where at some point, in some ways, you have to look. You have to go all the way back to 2019 to kind of bring it to the point where right now they started then with the abbreviated season last year, which makes everything possible. Because like we don't know what the 60 game season would have been like over the course of 162, and we can pontificate, but in 2021, players are entering this season coming up a couple of weeks. You may have to look back not only last year, but the year before that and kind of put that all into a bottle and shake it up, pour it into a glass and see what comes out. It's a really intriguing year with all these teams in Major League Baseball, just what is going to happen and to forecast what's going to happen in a full season.
Exactly. It's like this year is going to be the year where something comes out of nowhere. You don't expect it. You didn't see it because you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's Joe Ferrand. I sent you here. We'll talk to the last team that we'll talk about here. And if you tell me who won the World Series 2 years ago with all that's going on in the world, I bet one out of every two people would have to pause for a minute who won the World Series 2 years ago. Joe, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. The old Washington Nationals, because they've won it 2 years ago, and it's like it's one of those blips on the radar that like people don't think that the Washington Nationals won a championship. They forget that they won it less than 2 years ago. I remember that because I was down in Universal, Florida, watching Game 6 of the World Series, and it's like you forget about it. It's like you look at the star rotation of Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Lester, Roth. I mean, so. Sure, they're long in tooth, they're older, but they're good. It's like, you know, so I like them, but it just, you know, can they hold up for the whole season? And it's like, only time will tell. You never, I don't know. It's Lester's health all the way there. It's like, I love the guy, but, you know, we did get checked out earlier. He went at the Boston to check. So it's like, you know, will he be able to stand the whole year? I couldn't even tell you. It's like I wouldn't even try to. And before I forget, one of our another ex-Red Sox is on another team. Blake Swihart is on that team. Granted,
yep.
He's on a minor league deal, but can he break into the team? I don't know. I mean, I like the team.
Mm-hmm.
No,
again, the National 26-34 last year, fifth in the division, but not on everyone's radar this year because of all the talent in this year. And again, you want to talk about an aberration last year? Not a lot to take away from last year with this Washington National team. Again, Ryan Zimmerman in the fold. He sat out 2020, first place, a veteran, clubhouse presence there, having a pretty darn decent spring. Brad Hand is a closer, left-handed pitcher. They brought in Kyle Schwarber with a winning pedigree, won a World Series with the Cubs. And, oh, by the way, John Lester's in a couple with the Cubs and the Red Sox. So there's some talent there at key positions, and if the team were to get into a pennant race, that things can happen with teams like that who can get you to the other side over a bridge. But let's talk about their lineup. Trey Turner, Schwarber, Soto, Bell from Josh Bell, we know where he came from, and Sterling Castro with the top five. That's pretty formidable, Joe, on paper right now.
Oh, it's very formidable. The offense is not the question on this team because you're definitely going to question because, I mean, Soto is MVP-type numbers. And don't forget Victor Robles, who's not a bad player himself. I mean, that's a very solid team. You know, Josh Bell, I guess he really stunk because Pittsburgh let him go. But, you know, that's beside the point. Never
dig.
No. The offense is not the problem with this team. Lack of defense.
Right.
You got Schwarber is a bat, but he's not a very strong outfielder. Soto, another strong, very strong bat. So-so defense. Robles has to cover both left center and right center. There's only so much room he can cover, and he's a great defensive player, but it's like he's only – so, I mean, Josh Bell is a below-average defensive player, so that hurts you there. And so it's the defense that kills the Nationals. It's not their offense. If you're pitching the contact, which some of these pitchers are doing, it's dependent on defense. If the defense isn't there, that gets you into trouble, and that's where their Achilles tooth is Achilles heel is their defense. It's like it's not their offense, it's the defense. So, I mean, that's their one downfall, if you may, is their left field, right field, and first base defense. So, I mean, other than that, I love this team. It's like, you know, you got Hand, you got Hudson as the other side of the closer. I mean, Zimmerman, I like that pickup because he's a nice veteran to bring in. You're just in the wrong division. And it's like, you know, 2 years removed, I'm not being down on him. It's just like, ouch. It's like, you know, the other teams have caught up to him. They haven't done enough with the Joneses, as they may say, with the Mets and the Braves.
Agreed. But the catalyst in this offense is right at the top in Trainer. 136 stolen bases since 2017, tops in the league in that band. We saw with Mookie Betts in the leadoff spot here how important that is, that danger, just to get this guy on base. Because you start a game with him on base, and right away the pitcher's on defense. You got to keep to account him at all times. Takes the pitcher's eye off the play a little bit differently, opens things up offensively at the start. He's key offensive. Like you said, I know offense isn't a problem with him, but if their pitching falters a little bit, Trey Turner could be the MVP in the season if the Nationals ought to do good things. But I like their makeup. Nobody's talking about them. They're the third best team in the division. A lot of scouts say this is the year they have to make the move because they're getting long in the tooth. We're not sure how long Strasburg is going to be there. Lester, maybe in one year situation, gets to the postseason. He's a bulldog. Scherzer, we're all waiting for the shooter drop on this guy and the velocity to come down, but all he does is keep stepping up. What a gutsy pitcher he is. The blood and guts of this pitching is really, really, really strong. And you have that going out there, and they'll pitch till their arms fall off. I love the mentality. But like you said, the defense is going to make or break this team as well. But this is a team that, I'm telling you, man, nobody's talking about them in the division. And with a chip on their shoulder, possibly, with the core veterans they have, they can make up some hay in this division. But this division is loaded, loaded.
It's definitely loaded. And just so you know, E2GSports.com, go to that page, go all the way to the bottom, find the link to podcast, and that's where you'll find the Hump Day with Chips and Joe and every other podcast that is out there. And this week, we had one of the featured podcasts on Blog Talk Sports Radio. Go to blogtalk.com, and we're on that center page first and foremost, so you can find us all over the place.
You bet. So a few minutes remaining here. Joe Foran and Johnny Sunchips, pardon me, on the blog talk, blogtalkradio.com, E2G Sports Podcast. Hump Day edition. It's 18th of March, 2021. Let's see. Talk about the – all right, let me – all right. LeBron James, part owner of the Red Sox. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah.
I love it.
Stick that dagger in my arm.
I love it though.
No, look, nothing bad. Look, I like more ownership. I like it. It's like, you know what? You got the money to spend. You want to – at least you pick the right team to be ownership, part ownership of. I'm not arguing. It's like, you know, I'm not a LeBron fan, but, hey, God bless him. He wants to buy part of a team, go for it. It's like, you know, if you can knock some sense into these other owners, I'm all for it.
But here's the thing, and I know he's a polarizing guy. I have no problem saying LeBron is probably one of the best basketball players in our generation. There's no question about that. Some of the stuff that he says, he talks about, we can argue that it's a little more self-centered. He comes across as being an I, me guy, which is fine. I mean, I'm not saying it's fine, and that can polarize people, alien some people. But let's not take into effect what this guy means off the field, what he's done for minorities, what he's done for schools, what he's done for kids, what he did for Akron, and providing all this money for scholarships for kids of inner cities. I mean, the list goes on and on. Just look it up. Here's one thing we know about LeBron. He is a worldwide figure. Okay, just based on that. That can only bode well for the Red Sox and their ownership to have him a part of it, because he is that name where you don't, you know, you talk about LeBron. Nobody's in the last name. He's just LeBron. And that tells you all you need to know about him and what his stamp could mean on an organization just from notoriety. It's a worldwide figure, and I have no problem. As a matter of fact, I love him being on the staff because I love hearing people get sick and tired, go on social media. Oh, my God, this and that. Again, stop wearing your heart on your sleeve and say to yourself, this guy is one of the better athletes of our generation. And to have him a part of the Red Sox ownership group can only bode well for the organization. That's just my opinion.
Well, it can only bode well, John, for the inner city of Boston, which is still, 50 years later, still fighting the racism card.
Sure.
On this, of the fans in the stands. So, yeah, if you look at it at that point of view, it's an excellent move because – he only can help that and help the inner-city youth in Boston and help the way people look at this organization, look at people of Boston. We've been fighting this for years, and it won't go away because where there's smoke, there's fire, and there always seems to be a lot of smoke going around of how there's too many N-bombs and too many racial slurs going on coming out of the center field bleachers of the Red Sox and Fenway Park, and it probably can only help. I would say it would help. Look, I'm just not a LeBron fan. I don't hate him. I'm just not a fan of his. But I agree with you with that. It's like he can only help with this. You need this for notoriety. You need somebody that's willing to work with the inner city youth. You need somebody that's willing to work with the colored community of Boston and turn this around because something – need to turn it around because it gets tiresome of me hearing about it, of how Boston's racist.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that could be a real – all right, so looking on the road of what could happen as we approach a minute and a half of the show. Joe, it's been great talking to you. I want to publish a show tonight. The Double Steel Baseball Show comes to you on the E2G Sports Network at 8:30 p.m. tonight. We'll talk some more baseball with the guys, Adam and – Rob as well, our baseball insiders. But Joe, it's been great having you on, man. Always a pleasure. Seems like a long time since last week, but we'll be previewing the AL East next week, and we'll get into some predictions as we get closer to opening day, shall we?
Sounds good to me, John. Look, I enjoy it for the E2GSports.com network and Vlog Talk Radio. I enjoyed this day. Always good talking to you, my man.
You bet, man. Always a pleasure, and we'll be here each and every week for you. Again, the Double Steel Baseball Show at 8:30 p.m. tonight on this very same network. Thanks to Buddy for chiming in. Thanks to JavaScreen for Joe Foran and Johnny Sunship. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you really soon. Stay well, stay safe, and Godspeed. Take care of yourselves.